And of course, that's what I hope that the book can do to help in at least some small way to inspire a worldwide movement. We must come together as the Earthling tribe to make Earth great again.
That's Peter Solomon, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Dr. Peter Solomon is a scientist, educator, entrepreneur, and author. His previous books include The Stardust Mystery and The Race to the Big Bang. He joins us to talk about 100 Years to Extinction. Peter, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Now, this book is inspired in large part by a prediction made by Stephen Hawking. Tell us about it and how it led to this book.
I am a scientist. I've been doing science and technology for years and years and years. And it occurred to me that over the last 200 years, we have created so many wonderful technologies to improve the human condition. But we have not worried enough about the bad consequences of those technologies. So it started in the 1800s with fossil fuel technology for transportation and heat and electricity. And then in the 20th century, we got nuclear technology, nuclear medicine, wonderful, nuclear power, wonderful, nuclear bombs, not so wonderful. And then over the last 30 years, and this is what really concerned me the most, was we've got the internet with social media that gives us deep fakes and conspiracy theories. We've got genetic engineering that can change the evolution of the human race. And something which is almost appearing daily in the newspaper, AI. And all of those threats, I felt a responsibility as a scientist. We've got to wake people up to the consequences of these wonderful things. They have some dire consequences. And later, so that was the inspiration for the book. I've got 12 grandkids. They're going to live in the future with all of these issues upon them. It really is up to them to fix things. And I decided to write this book as a wake-up call. But then I became aware that Stephen Hawking had most of these same concerns and made this prediction of human extinction on Earth in 100 years. And I said, that's the title for the book.
And in the book, the characters of the book are inspired by Stephen Hawking's words and say, you know, we need to do something about it. And I'll have you tell us more about the plot in the moment, but at the beginning of the book, they make a promise to try to make a difference. And we see what they do throughout the course of the book, and we'll come back to that in a moment. So give us an overview of the plot here, what people are going to find.
Well, the book starts with one of the three characters. The three characters are Gen Z. They're two sisters and their cousin. And the older sister is working as an EMT during COVID. And she gets called to an emergency heart attack, which is a ruse. The person who called comes out on the porch and shoots her when she gets out of the ambulance. And so this is an incredible trauma. And it becomes a tipping point. The cousin Milo, who's a political science guy, says, you know, I've been looking at all of these threats to humanity as an academic. It hasn't been real, but now all of a sudden, wow, it's affected my own family. This is now real to me. And so this is the trigger that gets these three young people to look at the world. The younger sister is a science nerd. She has a photographic memory, and she says, you know, Stephen Hawking made this prediction that we have 100 years left. And that's what causes the three of them to make this promise that it's up to their Gen Z to help save the world, and they promise to do at least one thing to help save humanity. And the book then is about the things that they do. The younger science nerd joins a project to create a mission to Mars. And in fact, the two sisters end up going to Mars. The cousin, Milo, the political science guy, ends up going into politics and forms a new political party, tries to figure out ways in which the current political situation can be improved with the new party. And each of them in their own way try to bring some more sanity to the world, some way of controlling these forces that the science and technology community has released.
And one of the things I enjoyed is that you've taken the MAGA slogan and adapted it to be Make Earth Great Again, which needs to be done because you point out that, you know, we have technological challenges that obviously affect the environment, and then we have political challenges. So a lot of big things that need to be addressed. And I guess my question for you is, can we do it? We see a lot of division in today's world. Can we pull together, make Earth great again, and avoid extinction?
Well, I'm an optimist, and the book, while it has a very pessimistic main title, the subtitle is Fighting for a Better Future. And the book is optimistic in the sense that the young people do figure out how to control some of these forces that have consequences. I think it's possible. And the book, this Make Earth Great Again is something that the characters come up with. They want to create a movement, the signature movement of the 21st century. They want to create this Make Earth Great Again movement. They want to create a sense of the population becoming part of the Earthling tribe instead of the American tribe or the Chinese tribe. They want to create an Earth Corps like we did in the 60s of the last century with the Peace Corps. The three characters are desperate to do something, and creating a movement is basically what they identify. We need to create this worldwide movement. And of course, that's what I hope that the book can do to help in at least some small way to inspire a worldwide movement. We must come together as the Earthling tribe to make Earth great again.
And this book is in no way a rejection of technology, but it acknowledges that there's good and there's bad, and we have to be careful, for example, with AI, to use it in ways that are productive for humanity and not ways that are destructive.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I have a website, and the website is 100yearstoextinction.com. 100yearstoextinction.com. And the website has a newsletter, and I was writing the newsletter together with my editor, Barbara Ellis. We were doing the newsletter together, and it was going to be on the AI singularity. This is a future that has been identified by some writers, Ray Kurzweil in particular, as a point at which AI becomes as powerful as humanity. And this big question, what happens then? How does our civilization go forward with these AI entities that are as powerful as our human entities? And then all of a sudden it struck me, I've got to write the sequel. I've got to have my three characters, because the singularity is predicted to be 2045. That's only a short time from when the current book ends. They're going to be in the singularity. How are they going to react? What is going to happen? What are the things that are going to be occurring in this singularity? What will robots be like? Will they be sentient? Will they want citizenship? What are the large language models that currently are doing all kinds of strange things? What will they be like? Are we going to be able to control them? And so that just sucked me in. And now we're cranking out, I and Barbara are cranking out this sequel in record time. It's going to be available in the springtime, but it has got me so crazed in terms of working on this. And it is so fascinating to imagine all of the things that will happen at this AI singularity point.
100 Years to Extinction is a science fiction book, but it's packed full of science facts. And at the end of the book, you enlighten people on what is indeed fact and what was speculation on your part.
Here's one really cool example. They're going to Mars. They're going to have a settlement on Mars. They want to take all of what humanity has created, which I call the Humanity Archive. And if they use current technology, which is 1 terabyte hard drives, the 200 billion terabytes, 200 billion of those hard drives would fill up 20 Empire State Buildings. Can't take that to Mars. And the older sister, who is a graduate student, a PhD in genetic engineering, gives the solution. They're going to use DNA databases. And that's real. If you use a DNA database where you code all of the Humanity Archive into a 4-digit code instead of a 2-digit code, you can put it in a softball size. Wow. The whole Humanity Archive at a softball size. And what they decide to do is the modern message in a bottle. They're going to put the whole Humanity Archive and a translation program into a solar satellite and send it off into the universe for whoever finds it to see what the human civilization was like. So that's an example of a real-world science embedded in the book. I developed this idea of telling science in a story when I did 2 other books for kids to teach kids science. And one of the books is called The Stardust Mystery. The mystery is you are made of stardust that was once in the body of Albert Einstein and the last T-Rex. That's a true statement. And the book is about how kids figure out as a mystery in their time and space travel ship that they have on the internet. They have to go through the universe and figure out what stardust is and how it could be the same material that's in me and you.
Well, as you point out, the title 100 Years to Extinction sounds like this is going to be a very negative novel, and it's really not. Yes, it's a cautionary tale about all the challenges we face, but it's optimistic that we're going to figure this out. And one of the other takeaways for me from the novel was because you have these 3 characters who promise earlier in their life to make a difference, and they follow through with it, they do make a difference. So it's encouraging for folks that may just throw up their hands and say, well, there's nothing I can do. Don't underestimate yourself. If you care, if you try, you can make a difference.
Right, absolutely. And I hope for the future of humanity that we do come together as the Earthling tribe. It's got to be international. It's got to be the whole world come together and work together to make Earth great again and save us from extinction.
Peter, at the back of your book, you have a QR code that leads people to a creation of AI. Tell us about that. And kind of, it's kind of funny in a way, you caution about the misuse of AI, and yet you're using AI in this story as well.
Well, it was kind of an accidental thing. I have a videographer who helped me create a video on YouTube that's called The Tyranny of Technology, and it's about the 5 technologies and their benefits and their dangers. And he decided to take all the information that we use to create this video, take the talking points, and submit it to an online AI program that creates music. And he got back the lyrics that the AI program created. He did some editing of the lyrics, put it back into the program, and then sent me like three versions of a song. So I did a little bit more editing, and then I submitted it to my social media team, and they, by hand, created videos to go with it. So we now have a music video. The QR code will take anyone who scans it to that music video. You can also go to my website, the 100 Years to Extinction website, and I'll click on the music tab, and there's a button there that will take you to the video too. So the video is a song written by AI to warn us about the dangers of AI and the other technologies.
And here's a portion of the audio from that music video that you can hear by following the QR code in the book.
A clock is ticking soft and low. 100 years is all we know. The earth is crying out in pain to stop the tyranny of technology's gain. 100 years before it's too late to control the forces that threaten our fate. Undo the codes we've written wrong and turn the tide before it's gone.
The novel is 100 Years to Extinction by Peter Solomon. Peter, thank you for talking with me today.
And thank you, Dan, so much for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and it's always fun to tell people what I'm doing.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.